I'm asked to offer a friendly reminder that next week, following the church services, there will be a lunch appreciating the pastors. How awkward is that for me to have to say that? I feel appreciated. I would love to feel appreciated with more food. I love food. This morning, hopefully you leave here nourished with the food of God from His Word. And we celebrate the faithfulness of God our Father and Jesus Christ in the Spirit that so freely moves. And I think I'm going to start with a Genesis text and just one verse, but I want to read it as is. Genesis 2, chapter 7. This is an account of the creation of humanity, a more intimate knowledge or intimate account of God getting down and dirty and making us. In this one verse, I just want you to hold on to. Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed the breath of life into his nostrils. And the man became a living being. Now, he breathed the breath of life, the spirit, the ruach, the wind, the breath, the spirit. It was not until that moment that we really became who we are called to be, created in the image of God, because the Spirit of God has been breathed into us. We need to rest in the ruach. And sometimes things get away from us. And I'm reminded of being up when I was a young, strapping young man with hair, when I used to take my shirt off in the sun. And we used to ride that Hobie Cat out there. And I thought we thought we were so good. We thought we were like professional sailors. I don't really know a thing about sailing when it comes down to it. Except for the fact, when the wind blows, it blows. And when the wind blows, it's time to go. And one day, we got blown back into the bay, into kind of, you know, the marshy area. And we got stuck. And Charles and I had to get off, and we're pushing that sailboat along. And, you know, this is the kind of area, this is the same area where I lost one croc one time. One shoe went down into the muck so much that I know it's down there, but I can't get it back. That's how mucky it was. And same type of terrain. And we're pushing the sailboat, and next thing you know, here comes the wind. And I'm running after this sailboat in the muck, in the water. I didn't catch the ride. The sailboat went away, and I had to wait. Not to mention that my feet were all cut up from those oyster shells. You know, sometimes in life, things just get away from us. Sometimes in life, we fail to stay on board. We don't go where God has called us to go. To trust and obey, to be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. Wherever he goes, wherever he sends us, we'll go. That's not easy. Whatever he calls us to do, that's not easy. And I'm pretty sure, I'm highly confident, it wasn't easy for Jesus to go the distance and to be crucified, to cry out, "It is finished. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. How hard is that? You know, today's goal is that you exhale the anxieties of your life and to inhale the grace and mercy of God's goodness and love so clearly seen through the sufferings of Jesus Christ. You know, we should never minimize, trivialize, or simply spiritualize what Jesus endured on that cross. In fact, we're called to pick up our own crosses and to share in the suffering alongside Jesus. And not only that, we're called to bear the burdens of our brothers and sisters. We're called to carry each other's crosses from time to time. So I hope today is a breath of fresh air for your soul as we focus on this final prayer of Jesus, the final breath of God incarnate. So I want to start in Psalm 31. Now, it's understood that Psalm 31 is actually a prayer recited in evening offering. So each evening when an offering is made in the temple, this psalm is read, which would have been the same time that Jesus is crying out in a loud voice, Father, into your hands I commend, I entrust my spirit. You see, Jesus is the ultimate offering and sacrifice. Lord, I seek refuge in you. Let me never be disgraced. Save me by your righteousness. Listen closely to me. Rescue me quickly. Be a rock of refuge for me, a mountain fortress to save me. For you are my rock, my fortress. You lead and guide me because of your name. You will free me from the net that is secretly set for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hand I entrust my spirit. You redeem me, Lord God of truth. And so let's take a close look at today's text found in Luke chapter 23. We're taking a look at verses 44 through 49. Luke 23, verse 44. It was about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3, because the sun's light failed. It's dark. It's dark. The curtain of the sanctuary was split down the middle, from top to bottom. And Jesus called out with a loud voice, Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit. Saying this, he breathed his last. Jesus had completed his earthly mission. Jesus had died for the sins of the world. Now keep in mind that Jesus not only went through a lot of emotional and physical trauma before he was even nailed to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. He's up there from noon in the heat, and then all of a sudden it gets dark. Could have been an eclipse. What we do know is it was dark. And then at that moment, that curtain, the temple curtain, split in two. And so what does that mean? Well, what is that temple curtain? It's a valid question. That curtain separates humanity from God. Only once a year were one priest allowed to enter that holy of holies. There was such a chasm between humanity and God. But here, on this day, as the greatest offering and sacrifice, God himself on the cross breathes his last breath, and this temple curtain is torn in two. We can see God himself rending his clothes in mourning. And the veil of separation between God and humanity has now been ripped. You see, because of what Jesus has done for us, we now have the privilege to call out to God without this separation. We individually can have a personal relationship with God. Obedience. Jesus is obedient to the very end. Being obedient is not always easy. In fact, it rarely is easy. And so verse 47, after Jesus has expired, when the centurion saw what happened, he began to glorify God. Now this is one of the same individuals that helped him get up there, right? And he has witnessed this. And then it was not until that reverent death of Jesus, the obedient submission of Jesus to the will of the Father, that even the centurion is able to recognize and glorify God. Matthew and Mark like to help us out a little bit more, and they'll say that the centurion says, truly, this man is the Son of God. And all the crowds that gathered for this spectacle, I think that's an interesting word choice. It was a spectacle. It wasn't an act of just capital punishment. No, it was a spectacle. And so when they had seen what had taken place, they went home, striking their chest, beating their chest in mourning. Because the Messiah, the one who is going to save us, has died. The hope has perished on a cross. But all who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. The good news is, praise be to God, that's not the end of the story. That'd be a pretty sad story A very sad story. An incredibly sad story. A tragedy of an innocent man mocked, humiliated, emotionally tortured, physically tortured, killed. But this was not an ordinary man. This was God's only son, Jesus Christ. You know, more than once, Jesus reminded his disciples, unless you lose your life for my sake, you will not find it. You must lose your life to save it. And I think the question for us today is simply, are we willing to commit, to entrust our lives with Jesus? Are we allowing our spirit to be led by God's Spirit? Are we willing to fall into the hands of God? Now, that took a lot of trust for that young man, Michael, but he knew Grandpa was going to catch him, didn't he? He knew that. He knew that. Even if they practiced before they got here, I don't know if that's true, right? It still takes some courage and trust, right? Because he can't see. And his eyes were closed because I could see from the other side. You know, I can't help but be in this moment now preaching this text without thinking about those words, "It is finished." You know? And I think about that incredible song, right? "It is finished." And it says, like, there's a line. There's a line that has been drawn through the ages. And on that line, there stands an old rugged cross. And on that cross, this battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or its loss. Up there, Jesus is fighting for us. Fighting for you. See, Jesus prayed it forward and he paid it forward. And on one side march the forces of evil. If we don't believe that there is evil in this world, we're already losers. You see, all the demons and all the devils of hell, they're on one side. And on the other side marches all these angels of glory. And they meet on Golgotha's hill. And the earth shakes with the forces of this conflict. And the sun, we read this text, it refuses to shine. And there hangs God's son in the balance. And then, through the darkness, he cries, "It is finished! The battle is over! It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict." Can we say with confidence that Jesus is Lord? Yet, here's where we struggle. Here's where we struggle. We can't get the anxieties and the worries and the struggles out of our lives. You see, in my heart, there's still battle. This battle is raging. Not all the prisoners of war have gone home. These battlefields, they're from my own making. Because we don't realize that the war has already been won. Then I heard that the King of the Ages had fought all the battles for me, and victory is mine for the taking. It's mine for the claiming, Praise God. He set us free. It is finished. It's already been done. He paid it forward. Where is the Spirit leading us? Has the sailboat sailed and you missed it? Well, the good news is, if you're still in the muck, you still got a chance. And I remember back in 2010, it was the senior class, our first senior class. Men had high hopes. And we went down to Goldsboro and we played Wayne Christian School, oh, our arch nemesis. We had never beaten them. And we had the team. Old Mark Bell, he had already jacked out a homer or two. And it was the bottom of the seventh inning, and we were up a run. And my goodness, I don't even know how it happened. But I sat on that bucket, and I watched that ball sail into the oak tree. It was the death of a season. It was the end of an era. Two seniors, final game. It was over. 2019. I'm sitting in the same exact spot on the bucket, bottom of the seventh. The year before, guess what? We hadn't won a game. We had not even made it to the seventh inning, but twice the whole season. That's a terrible season, you know? And it's just like, you remember that movie, Facing the Giants? It was a classic story of a terrible football team that had a turnaround season because they believed in what they could do, that God was with them. And it came down to the last play, and they had the kicker who missed all the time. And then all of a sudden, he got up there, last play of the game, and he goes and kicks the ball. Then all of a sudden, here comes this wind. And he goes, whoosh, through the uprights, they win the game. Well, let me tell you something. It's the bottom of the seventh inning in 2019. I'm like, here we go again. Guess what happened? We got one out. This guy hits a ball out of the ballpark. Oh, boy. Now we got a one-run lead. Okay. Next player. He hits the ball harder than the guy who hit it out of the ballpark. And not a very good dive effort by the right fielder, but he hustled and he goes to get that ball. The guy stopped at third base. One out, runner on third, tying run. Here it is, bottom of the seventh. I'm on the bucket. And next thing you know, foul ball, foul ball, foul ball, foul ball. Oh my gosh, this thing. I can't take much more. You know, and every pitch somebody gets to see, greater chance they have of having success. And then all of a sudden, he hits a ball so high in the air, I'm telling you right now, it had landed in the middle of the graveyard. And the next thing you know, the first baseman had got to the fence, and then the first baseman comes back, and he's stumbling all around, and he caught the ball between first base and the pitcher's mound. And landed on the ground. Oh my gosh, we got two outs. We might win this thing. Very next pitch. You know what happened? I have no idea why this happened. The batter turned around and bunted the ball right back to the pitcher. And he threw it to first, and that was the ball game. True story. Sometimes God just rolls the ball right to us. All we got to do is pick it up. The victory is there for the taking. God's already done it for us. And you know, the more I thought about that story, I had contemplated him missing the ball, all this stuff. I never really thought about the fact, had that ball just kept going and ended up a foul ball, it could have easily been a different outcome. But that ball got blown back into fair play, and he caught it. You know, life isn't always fair. It wasn't fair for Jesus. But the good news is, as hard as life can be sometimes, if we just get on board and follow the will of God and His Spirit, it doesn't matter. The victory is already won. The victory is ours for the taking. We just have to pick it up. We just have to accept the gift. So if there's a decision that anybody needs to make today, then we extend the invitation to accept Jesus into your life. To accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. To place your trust in Him and to say, Lord, guide my life with your Spirit into your hands. I'm entrusting my life.